This show is sponsored by Bloomerang, a solution that helps nonprofits like ShowerUp, a nonprofit providing mobile showers and personal care for those experiencing homelessness, to efficiently manage their volunteers and donors all in one place. Thanks to Bloomerang, ShowerUp increased their volunteer signups by 60% and first-time donors by making it easy to give right on their site.
ShowerUp's executive director, Paul Schmidt, said, "Bloomerang is an ideal marriage of volunteer and donor management. The deeper we get into it, the more we love it." If you want to see how ShowerUp easily manages their volunteers and donors with Bloomerang, go to bloomerang.com/fundraising-funny or visit the link in the show notes to learn more.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Donor Perfect. When we say it's an all-in-one fundraising software solution, we mean all-in-one. There are so many things that can help you do, like manage and track your relationships with your donors,
create a joyful and user-friendly giving experience,
automate and save time on routine administrative tasks,
drive your fundraising strategy with helpful, meaningful data and reporting,
wash, iron, and fold your laundry,
wait in line for you at the coffee shop. Heck, it even knows your order and tips your favorite barista generously.
That's kidding about the last two.
It's one thing for us to just list a bunch of features at you, but another to hear it directly from a nonprofit putting Donor Perfect to work. Here's what Susan Lamb at Living Hope International has to say. It's really nice to have this set it and forget it functionality as far as monthly donations are concerned. Many of our sponsors and other donors readily go for this convenient and secure option.
Right now, we recommend you check out their monthly giving success kit, which is a free guide to creating and growing your own recurring giving program. With how much monthly giving has grown in the last year, you don't want to miss out on this great resource. Find that and more at donorperfect.com. Welcome to Fundraising is Funny. I'm Lynn Wester.
And I'm Clay Buck.
Join us to share in laughter and stories as we take a lighthearted look at the profession that we love so much, fundraising.
Because sometimes we just have to laugh at ourselves.
Laughter through tears is my favorite emotion. Take a moment, take a listen. Hey, this could even be called self-care.
Bring your favorite beverage and a yummy snack.
In reality, we're here to deliver on our promise. We're going to make you laugh or cringe. And if you learn something too, bonus.
See, we're serious fundraisers. We believe in this work. But we also know we do some really ridiculous things all in the name of raising a dollar. Maybe if we laugh at and with them and at ourselves, we can bring a little joy to everybody in our sector.
Now, don't worry. In that pursuit of joy, we won't name names, but the stories we share are 100% real life in the world of nonprofit fundraising.
Because, come on, fundraising is funny.
Oh, Clay.
Oh, dear.
Do I have a story
for
you?
Oh, that's an ominous. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome back to Fundraising is Funny.
We got you.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I'm scared of this story.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what's coming.
I don't.
That's when it's best.
Okay, so secret. I usually do know the stories before we go. Shocking. Isn't that shocking?
We plan.
Are you shocked that we actually plan our stories?
Not this today,
one,
my friends.
This one I don't know. I do not
today,
know this
my
story.
Friends.
So
no. Today's episode involves chainsaws and axes. So it's a Lizzie Borden episode.
Oh, my. No.
Yeah, it's funny. Come on. It's a long time ago.
Don't lose your head over this.
Oh, wow. Wow. And I think I'm.
Is this the Halloween episode?
Oh, maybe? No. It's not even that time
okay.
of year.
All right.
So I'll tell you a story that happened to me pre-COVID.
Uh-huh.
Just to give everybody some
context.
Uh-huh. I used to travel 300 nights a year for 7 years.
Good
I spent.
Lord.
Yeah, girly. I was just.
I mean, you travel a ridiculous amount now, but
no,
that's. Oof.
No. Delta Marriott and I were in a.
Never mind. Moving on.
Relationship, basically. And sometimes I cheated with Kimpton and, you know, American. But anyway.
Anywho.
I went to visit a campus to do an assessment.
Mm hmm.
And, you know, first of all, I love visiting university campuses. I have been to campuses all over the world. It's one of my favorite things. Like, I love going on campus, but mm-hmm. inevitably mm-hmm. this happens.
Oh.
At said airport, because usually campuses are not in major cities. You have to mm-hmm. get in the city, get a car, yeah. rental yeah, yeah. car, and drive to
said university college town.
Right.
College town, USA, for example.
Unless you're here in Vegas, in which case it's 5 minutes from, it's literally across the street from the airport, but
right, I digress. But very rare. Most of them are land grant out in the middle of nowhere kind of joints. Joints, you know, what kind of joint is this? My mom calls fast food places fast food joints. So she's going to the fast food joint today. She's going to go to Dairy Queen.
Bless.
Get a Brazer burger.
Bless.
She probably will get a fish sandwich, but that's a whole nother story for another day. Yeah. Norma and her fast food delights now that she's
kicking
the world.
Travel.
So I go to I rent a car. I get in said car. I drive to campus. Now, I already know that when a consultant's coming into town, there's some anxiety. People worry. I don't know why, but there's this strong sense from some people that they're like, I'm going to come take their job. And I'm like, I don't want your job. I had your job and no thanks. But so as I pull into campus, you know, usually they tell me where to park near the advancement building or the development shop or the alumni center. And I'm innately fearful.
Okay.
Because I know that as I get there that morning, I'm doing two things that are going to make people so I'll give you this story. So I pull into the parking lot.
Yeah.
Park ye old rental.
Ye old
some rental. Mid-size.
The old rental car.
Yeah. Some mid-size sedan of some.
With you.
Nondescript. I then park it, walk into the building, go into the conference room where they have me stationed for the day, you know, get my water bottle filled, you know, get some, they offer me coffee three times and I'm like, I don't drink caffeine. Thank you though. But if you find a root beer later, throw it in my direction. I get settled in with my laptop. I get on the Wi-Fi, which is also like one of the hardest things to do at any university is get onto their free Wi-Fi. I get settled in and inevitably someone comes barreling into the 9 a.m. meeting where they're to meet with me going, I don't know what is going on. And then they stop on their heels and they're like, someone took my parking spot. And then, and they stare at me in their boardroom, in their chair that they always sit in the meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hi, good morning. And they're like, and they look around the room frustrated because A, they don't have their regular parking spot. Some idiot in a mid-sized sedan took it. And B, now someone's sitting in their chair in the boardroom staring at them about to pry into their deepest, darkest database secrets or stewardship plans. And I have just upended their entire day by A, changing their parking spot and B, changing their seat in the boardroom. And what it all really boils down to is we don't like change.
No. Change is hard.
And they will rail against that change. Like, I'm like, so, okay, I see here you thank your donors. No, we don't. I mean, all because I took a parking spot and, you know, a chair in the boardroom. Now, I understand. I was looking for their name in the parking spot, didn't find it, looked on the back of the chair. No name, but we're creatures of habit, don't you know? Now, all this to say that we don't like change, but here's what happens. And here's why I have grace for the person whose parking spot I took. And when it's the same person, the irony there is not lost on me. But so as I do this, I realize that so many of us in the nonprofit industry are tasked with cutting down a forest. Big, large projects to raise money, $1 at a time to change the world, right? Solve hunger, cure homelessness, educate populations. And then our resources are an axe. Here's an axe. I want you to go in the forest and I want you to cut it all down.
It's interesting that you're using this metaphor because I use this a lot too. Do you know that trees rot from the roots up? Trees rot from the roots up. So if you're looking at a forest, and if you're in a plain or on a mountain and you're looking down at a forest and you see that green, healthy, gorgeous canopy, you know, that view, like you look out and you see all the trees and all the forest.
And if you notice that some of them don't touch, like they make that,
right, but you get that just gorgeous. Well,
it's rotten.
What you may not know is at the root level, at the ground level, they're rotting. So you can have this gorgeous view up top, but the roots and the forest floor and all of that is rotting and festering. And unless things happen like undergrowth, like natural fires, like forest services, like pruning, like and animals going through it and that natural ecosystem, those trees are rotting from the bottom up, which means you can have this beautiful looking forest, but underneath it, it's dying.
Yeah. And
ultimately, the top will die.
Oh, it'll catch up, right?
And we do that so often. Side note, this is my pitch on don't just measure total dollars, measure other metrics as well. Oh. Because just because the canopy is green and healthy and dollars look good doesn't mean that you've got a strong supportive root system. But I digress.
Oh, don't. No, I love a digression.
Forest tree metaphor.
So we're out there in the forest and we're chopping down trees with an axe.
Yep.
And as we chop, what happens to the axe?
It gets dull.
It's dull, kind of like, you know. You
keep breaking handles.
Yeah.
And then you replace the handle, but then the head gets dull. So you replace the head. At what point are you still using an axe?
The handle. We're at a nonprofit. We're taping that thing together.
It's duct tape until it falls apart. Right. But we keep replacing it, saying it's the same axe, but it's really not anymore.
So the axe gets duller and duller.
Yep.
I get hotter. The more meetings frustrated. Get
duller and duller. Oh, was that out loud?
Oh, no, maybe. The emails get longer and longer. And I'm out there and I am slowing down my axe chopping.
Yeah.
And what I'm unable to do is look up from my chopping to see what the problem is.
Because I'm focused on this area right here that has to get dealt with. And if I don't do this, this tree is going to topple.
Okay. And previous in my career, I used to say, stop what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Stop, collaborate, and listen. Ice is back with a brand new rhythm. That's an ice baby quote for those of you, Vanilla Ice. Look it up for those of you young folks. And I say, stop what you're doing, look up, and sharpen your axe.
We are going to need t-shirts. That's a great phrase.
It is. However, I've come upon a conundrum.
Oh, dear.
I'm afraid that it's not axe sharpening that we need. And we don't need a grinder and we don't need to sharpen our axes.
Yeah.
Because that is incremental improvement, but it's not change. I've gone from an axe, the same tool, to an axe, just one that's sharper.
Right. Okay. Fair.
And speaking of change, I need to change the contents of my stomach.
Change. Oh, I realize you were heading for a segue there, but that just didn't.
Not too harsh. I need to change my calorie count. I need to change.
You need a snack is what you need.
All right. Snack.
So please. Snack break.
Yeah. Well, let's take one and then I'll come back and tell you what we really
need.
Can
we get those little Reese's trees since we're talking about forest? The chocolate peanut butter trees.
Did you know that there's a spreadsheet out there that analyzes the peanut butter to chocolate ratio of all Reese's snacks?
I love a good spreadsheet.
My friend Ashley.
Yeah.
Will tell you that trees are different than eggs, are different than pumpkins. 100%
true. 100% true. I can say that anecdotally. Now I want to see the data. So.
We're going to Google that and we'll be back with you. Yep.
Hey, Lynn.
Hey, what?
What do robots eat for snacks?
Oh, dear. No, please. No, Clay.
Micro chips. Oh.
How do I turn off your microphone? But it is official Fundraising is Funny Snack Time.
Which means we get to recognize the official Fundraising is Funny Snack sponsor, Kindsight. Okay, so some of you might be confused and be thinking, who the heck is Kindsight? Well, this is a crew that is very near and dear to my heart. Kindsight is the new brand formed by iWave, UC Innovation, the maker of Ascend, and Nonprofit OS joining forces. Together as Kindsight, they are creating the industry's first and only fundraising intelligence solution that combines big data, artificial intelligence, and automation to power modern fundraising.
Yay! That is so exciting. The combination of iWave, UC Innovation, and Nonprofit OS will deliver what has never been possible before. Fundraising intelligence that empowers nonprofit and advancement professionals to have the right conversation with the right donor at the right time, every time. Okay, so Clay, what does this mean?
Three rights make a block?
They do.
It means that this year, Ascend's comprehensive and innovative CRM will be dramatically enhanced by the rich data and insights offered by iWave and the revolutionary AI functionality of Nonprofit OS.
It sounds like Kindsight has the power to transform how nonprofit professionals work, unlocking new dimensions of productivity, unleashing new creativity, and elevating their fundraising experts to new levels.
Yep. With Kindsight, fundraisers have everything they need to do their job more effectively so they can focus on what matters most, using fundraising to champion their mission and the groups they serve.
To learn more about KindSight, iWave UC Innovation and Nonprofit OS, visit www.iWave.com. You can even sign up to request a demo. You won't regret it. So we were talking about trees.
Changes.
We were talking about change.
Yes.
And
snacks.
We were talking about axes, you know, Lizzie Borden style, right? I don't, what am I supposed to do? Paul Bunyan? Like, do people really know Paul Bunyan anymore and his big blue ox?
That's a good question.
Right? Like, I mean, come on. Right. I'm trying to do things more relatable. Right.
Trying to get a handle on the axe discussion.
Can we have a moment of silence for puns everywhere?
Get me to a penitentiary.
We were going to have a podcast, but let's have an intervention instead. I was about to ask you a question, Okay. Sorry. Okay. I tried. So what I realized is the advice that I was giving out about stopping and sharpening your axe is good advice,
yep.
But it's not great advice. And I like to be great.
Okay.
I have a standard of excellence.
Okay.
I think everybody should have a standard of excellence.
They're low, but I have them.
What we need to do is instead of sharpening our axes, we need to pick up a chainsaw.
I'm with you.
We need to change.
I'm with you.
The methods. We need to change the tools we use. We need to modernize a lot of the time. And sharpening an axe.
Yeah.
And I know that there's hesitation coming from you and I want to hear you out. I'll but I want to make my I'll case first. Let me make my case first. Let me say what you're going to say.
I'm not stopping you.
Now, my father. Husqvarna user that he is. And if
wait,
you don't,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Husqvarna user.
I don't.
Yep. Somebody will Google that and figure out that it's a chainsaw company.
Okay.
We'll tell you that the chain on a chainsaw also needs to be sharpened. So therefore sure. My metaphor is a weak one at best, but
what's a metaphor?
My dad is a critiquer in the highest regard. Love you, daddy. All that to say is that I understand that a chainsaw might be a dramatic change away from an axe for some people. But I do believe that change is necessary and needed in certain aspects of our work. And I want people to get more comfortable with someone taking their parking spot. I want to get people to get more comfortable with, I want people to get more comfortable with people, taking their spot in the boardroom. I want us to do-si-do and do some, you know, what is that thing with the chair that musical chairs, you know, that would really shock the, Paul can't come to the meeting. Janice took his chair after playing the university fight song.
Right.
Vote one person off the meeting.
Right.
That's my fantasy land.
Right.
But so Clay, what is your point about upgrading from an axe to a chainsaw? Let me hear it.
Well, first, for all my theater friends out there who know this term, Makita. Makita is a maker of tools. Makita makes chainsaws as well as drills, etc. So all due respect to your dad, but Makita as a brand of tools also gives you the ability when you're holding a drill and working on summer stock and pulling a set together, like you're holding a Makita drill or Makita chainsaw, you get the opportunity to say Hakuna Makita. But also, I am...
I don't even know what to say to that.
Hakuna Makita. I am with you 100%. Totally with you on board. All the things and
yes. And
there are also, I'm kind of, cause I am very much this way in adult learning. One of the things that, well, even in secondary school, in all education, there is something about placement that aids in learning. And people tend to go to the same places because they are comfortable there. And therefore, it helps them in understanding and learning. As someone who lives with ADHD and neurodivergence, I know for me, pattern and repetition are extremely important.
Okay.
So in the mornings, especially if I don't have my set pattern, my whole day is shot.
I love disrupting his pattern.
Do it so well, right? I'm also very easily distracted that way. So right. Just throw me off pattern. You're going to get to one of two reactions. Either you're going to be really, really cranky, or I'm just going to go with it and have fun with it. So on the one hand, I get it, right? Because the other side of adult learning strategies and techniques is when you change people's natural patterns, it actually rewires the brain and opens up new neural
That's
pathways.
That's what therapy does for me.
Right.
No, I mean, I'm seriously.
So actually, literally putting a student in a different seat feet than where they usually sit
could
can actually increase and change learning. So I'm a little sensitive to people having their seat, et cetera, right?
I get that. Can I also say that in order to grow, you have to be uncomfortable? Now, I'm not trying to be not be but sensitive this is, to neurodivergence. This is my point.
No, this right? is, and this is my whole point that I'm getting to, because you're exactly right on the difference between axe versus chainsaw, because I think the key here is discretion. I think the key here is yes. critical thinking and discretion. And that, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what you're getting to with this, is the critical thought between sometimes I need an axe to clear out this underbrush and cut down this tree.
Machete on island is what we
there
use.
There we go.
A machete.
And sometimes I need a chainsaw to cut it just all down. And sometimes, you know what?
Burn
I need,
it.
I need a bulldozer and flatten or, the whole thing and start all over
or again. Burn it to the ground, because then new growth exactly. from underneath. Not that I'm advocating any sort of arson or destruction. No, but in any
forest.
Way.
I mean, Forest Services will tell you that a burn right. is
a controlled
necessary.
Burn is necessary. But
I think we can interpret that in business and use that as a metaphor. Sometimes
we need a controlled burn.
Times, how many times do I text you and say, "Burn it all down"?
Oh my goodness, I use that metaphor also sometimes a little insensitively, but that's between private dialogue between Clay and I, because I'm like, this dumpster fire just needs to roll down a hill and. You know,
and
implode.
We also have over a long period of time set that we understand that dynamic with us. So we do not advocate people you don't know saying burn it all down. It can be taken the wrong way. Please don't do it.
Right. And I do think, though, and I'm not advocating change for change's sake. I want to be very clear.
And there's a lot of that, too, isn't there?
There is.
I'm bored. Let's change it.
No, that's not a good reason.
Right.
Thank you.
Well. You and I have that example, and I'm not going to name it specifically, but I did reach out to you a little while ago. I want to change it all. And you went, why, Clay?
I made him give me your why.
And I went, because I just bored with it. Okay, that's not a good enough reason. It and that's totally fair.
It wasn't. And also, I was probably tired and crispy that day, and I was chopping.
But it was a fair response.
I was chopping around with my axe, and I was like, I'm busy. And Clay said, but I want to burn it all down. And I'm like, I don't have the time to burn it all down now.
It wasn't an actual burn it. I just wanted to change this thing. But your response was exactly right. What's the value of doing this right now? Is it absolutely necessary?
So I have this little structure, this little chart that I stole somewhere off the internet like 20 years ago when right. the internet was new, and that was on dial-up. And that is what I do like to change is things with high lift, low effort. High lift, low ROI.
I love that.
So high effort, low return are things that we need to change. I don't need to change things that are low lift, high return. I need to change things that are high lift, low return, yep. like donor honor rolls or right. like investing a lot of money in a giving society or tchotchke based giving or things like that. There are things having lots of meetings about something, trying to gain consensus rather than moving forward. Sometimes just pick up a chainsaw and the sound is so satisfying. It's just so satisfying.
It is. And there's just a feeling too, whether literal or metaphorical, there's just a feeling to holding a chainsaw that you're like, I have power. Suddenly I'm He-Man from the 80s, right?
And you know, by the power of Grayskull.
By the power of Grayskull, I redo this spreadsheet.
Exactly. Also, like even my dad, like he's an older gentleman. He just looks like a champ because he's also got on a lot of protective gear that we force him to wear. So it's quite cute.
But as a leader, and I guess I really I hadn't thought of this exactly this way before.
Sure.
As a leader, as a manager, to empower people, you sometimes can controlled burn, right?
Yeah.
This
maybe
needs
take a
changing.
Stroll through the hardware aisle and look at what you could do.
Right. This needs changing. This person needs some empowerment. They need something to own. They need something to really feel valuable. I can manage the burn from here. Let them take it. Let them run with it and give them the authority, the power, the something to feel like they are creating necessary change. Right.
Now, I'll tell you about a time before we get to the punchline about when seats at a boardroom became really interesting. So another university campus, I had been asked to do a comprehensive donor survey for them, which I did. And I presented it to the advancement team. It went really well. And the VP said, I'd like you to present this to the president and the board of trustees.
Ooh.
And I said, oh boy, I'm going to have to like comb my hair that day and, you know, pretend I'm a lady like my mom wants me to be and all that good stuff. So I show up for the board meeting in my best pretend outfit and I am waiting to give my presentation, and all of a sudden, and all the seats around the boardroom had been taken, and I was at the board table, you know, this big long, the U shapes that you all know, in front of the projector, and an older gentleman kind of wanders into the room a little bit and kind of looks around, and I'm like, Oh gosh, I bet he's a board member. So I gather all my things. I back away from my seat and I go sit in a corner at a side chair, and I have him take the seat. And then we have a break, and he comes over to the corner to me and says, "Hello, I'm Dr. So-and-so." And I said, "Hello there. Nice to meet you." And he said, "How did you know how did you know to give up your seat?" It turns out he was the president of the university.
Oh, that.
And the photo that I had looked online at was a few years ago.
Okay.
Maybe, you know how they use photos for a long time?
Sure.
And he didn't match the photo?
Sure.
But I had given up my seat to the president of the university.
Yeah.
I had given up my seat because it's the right thing to do. And there was an elderly gentleman, and I just wasn't a member of the board. So I didn't feel that was my seat. Right.
Sure.
So I think sometimes too, it's also being able to accept change with grace.
Sure.
And know when it is your time to make change, when it isn't your time to make change, and know the role. But it cracked me up. So he started laughing and he goes, "You really had," and I said, "Sir, I'm no offense to you, but I do this a lot and I can't learn every president." And he goes, "I like a woman with some honor. You know, I like a woman." And I said, "Sir, I just knew that it wasn't my table. I was just presenting later." And that turned into, we're still friends to this day. He brought me back on campus, like a lot of work, but one simple change gesture meant a lot to somebody. And other people were like, "Oh, yeah, so glad you gave up your chair for the president." I said, "I had no clue it was the president." Mm-hmm. that's what you do.
So what's the punchline here is we're getting to whether it's small incremental change like that, necessary change, big change. What's our punchline here?
Cultural change.
Cultural
right?
change.
I think the punchline for me is that even though change might make us uncomfortable, even when we don't want to change or we feel a resistance, that sometimes we have to embrace that change, embrace some newness, even though it makes us uncomfortable. We have to also be mindful, I think, to your point, that disruption might actually cause some stress, some undue stress from people. Do you know what I mean? And so, but I do think that sometimes we just need to put down the axe and fire up the chainsaw.
Agreed.
Whether it's a Makita.
A Makita.
Makita to me makes the battery operated things, and I can't imagine a battery operated chainsaw. Yep. My dad would tell you right now, son,
anywho,
that is not a chainsaw.
Anywho.
You got to put some gasoline in there.
There are two tools that I look to in determining change, right? The first is kind of a takeoff on a phrase many of us have heard. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Right?
Ooh.
In order to disrupt something, you got to know what you're disrupting. Disruption for disruption's sake is to me, what's the point? If you're going to crank up the chainsaw, you better know what you're tearing down first.
Yes.
Because you don't know if it's needed. So
look behind the bushes.
Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And then God love an Eisenhower box.
Yes, that's what I was referring to.
And I knew you were, right? The
good
quadrants.
Good old. Is that Ike? Is Eisenhower Ike?
I don't know. We'll Google it and we'll add it to the show notes, right?
But we'll also add an Eisenhower box to the show notes that I'm talking about.
That quadrant of, right, the top quadrant is it's most valuable, it's most needed.
Yes.
And this is the lowest return, lowest. So we don't focus on that.
Can we also include in the show notes an affiliate link to both chainsaws so that people can buy them and get money?
We're going to have to include a link to Makita.
We get money and whoever gets the most money, that elects the battery one or will donate it to the Chainsaw Protection Services of America or something.
I think the biggest change that we could make right now is give people time back in their day.
Okay, we'll let you all go.
Because we can sit here and hakuum and makata the rest of the day.
Fundraising is funny.com, which also starts with an F, which is not what I was thinking that started with an F.
It's a wonderful.
You all have a great day and thank you for being with
us. Means no worries for the rest of your days.
Clay. Hey, Clay, Clay!
What?
What are you doing? It's like you're in outer space there.
I have to get this annual appeal out, but I also have to like crunch the data to figure out who it should go to, because I also have to make sure that there are emails that are going along to the ones that have email addresses. And I was trying to design it all myself, but I went down this rabbit hole online and I'm just sitting here staring at a blank screen and a blinking cursor. And to be honest, I'm thinking about going to get a snack and putting this off, but I've got deadlines to hit and
Oh dear, sounds like you need help.
I am beyond help.
No, no, no. I've got good news for you. Let me introduce you to the amazing folks at MSP Cultivate.
To who? No.
MSP Cultivate. When it comes to getting you where you need to be using proven strategies that engage donors and deepen relationships, they know how to do it. They're experts in working with nonprofits and fundraisers to clearly define a plan and create campaigns that cover everything from the design and setup to integrating mail and digital components and analyzing that data to get the best results possible.
Sounds like they cover it all.
Well, they do, because they know that you can't get it all done by yourself. And that's what they're there for, to help you and other fundraisers fill in the gaps in building incredible donor relationships efficiently, effectively, and quite honestly, very affordably.
No, this sounds too good to be true. There's no easy button in fundraising.
Well, that's true. But there is an easier button, and MSP Cultivate's got it. They've worked with hundreds of nonprofits to create customized, personalized plans that's not a cookie cutter approach, but one tailored specifically to your needs, goals, and opportunities.
I am already online at mspcultivate.com and sending an email to info@mspcultivate.com to find out how to get started.
Great. You won't regret it, Clay. Now, about that snack.
Taking a quick moment here to share more about our sponsor, GiveButter, the all-in-one nonprofit fundraising platform that's empowering millions of changemakers like you to raise more, pay less, and give better.
Nonprofits use GiveButter to bring together multiple tools, including donation forms, fundraising campaigns, events, auctions, CRM, email marketing, text messaging, and more, all for free, thanks to their 100% transparent tipper-fee model.
As the number one rated nonprofit software company on G2 across multiple categories, including donor management and auctions, GiveButter is on a mission to power the next billion changemakers.
If you're a nonprofit, school, team, or any kind of group looking to raise money, sign up for your free GiveButter account to get started in minutes. Head to givebutter.com to claim your free account today.